What's your definition of peace?
Well, peace is a condition where nobody disturbs you anymore. No stress, nothing rattles you anymore, no disagreement, no disturbance, nothing annoys me. Woo! If that's your definition, I have good news for you. There's a place. Yeah, where? It's called the graveyard. It's the only place where you'll have peace. That's why the tombstones all say what?
Rest in peace. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We all want peace, whether it's world peace, peace on the job, in your family, maybe just in your own heart and mind. Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us that the disciples found peace in a most unlikely situation. Here he is with a message entitled, Unshakable Peace.
We're going to be talking about unshakable peace today, and I want you to know that God may give you a definition that may not be common to the world. It might be a difference there, and it's going to be more common to the people of the kingdom of God. But first, a funny story. There's a young cowboy on the airplane, and in comes the most beautiful girl he's ever seen, and she sits right next to him. And he thinks, wow, man, maybe this will be my wife one day. And so they strike up a conversation. And so he turns to her and said to her, what kind of men do you like? She said, I like Native Americans because they're high cheekbones and they're brave and courageous. And I also like Jewish men because they're brilliant and successful. And I also like Southern men because of the Southern gentlemen. They're courteous and kind. And she turned to him and she said, so what's your name? He thought for a bit and he said, my name is Geronimo Bernstein, but my friends just call me Bubba. Well, today we want to talk about peace. You know, in a survey recently, they asked people, what do they like the most for the world, for mankind? Overwhelmingly, the answer was peace, world peace, global peace, peace between nations, between warring tribes, between political parties, peace. They said, we want peace. Well, it's tough to define peace per se, because what really is it? Everyone agreeing with you? Is that peace? Maybe everyone has their own individualized definition of peace. But we all know, and it's common, we all know what it means to have no peace. When there's unresolved conflict, disagreement, discord, there's hatred and fighting. When there's wounds that just won't heal or unrepaired relationships, or you're in the midst of a situation just doesn't seem to get any better. And you know where it is that we find that we want peace more than ever and realize how important peace is? It's when we're in the midst of a gnarly storm and all of a sudden you realize there is no peace here. And outside storms start to become an inside storm. And that's exactly where we're going to travel to today. We're going to go across the world to Israel, all the way to the north of Israel, to a place called Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 10 miles wide and about 15 miles long, and it's situated in a very strategic place. In fact, if this is Israel here, and this is the Mediterranean Sea. This is Egypt here. This is the Sea of Galilee. It comes to the Dead Sea. Now, the water comes northward from a place called Mount Hermon, and the runoff goes underground to a place called Banya and then down into this holding tank called the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee, 87 miles south, runs into the Dead Sea. And this is Galilee, where Jesus began. Is that right? Yeah, close. My spelling is like my math. I just rounded off to the nearest letter. But this is the Sea of Galilee here. This is where Jesus began his ministry. There's Tiberias over here on the side. There's Capernaum over here on the north. And this is the area of the Gadarenes, the Gerasenes. You might have remembered Jesus went over to the Gerasene demoniac who had a legion of demons in him, and he casts the demons out. Do you remember that? And they go into a bunch of pigs, and then the pigs run over this cliff, kind of like the video you saw. So they run over, and they go down this cliff. It's the first recording in the Bible of a swine dive. And anyway, I'm just seeing if you're awake. Obviously not. Now, over here is actually a valley called the Valley of Jezreel, or the Megiddo. You've heard of Armageddon. Well, it's a place here in Megiddo. This is a whole plains area that goes from the Mediterranean to the Sea of Galilee. Now, interesting enough, the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. Here's the Mediterranean. There is a valley here called the Valley of Jezreel, or the Megiddo Plains. And then there's down here is the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee runs into the Dead Sea. Believe it or not, it keeps going downhill because this is the lowest place on the spot of the earth. It is the Dead Sea, 1,300 feet below sea level. So you can see the Jordan Rift or the Jordan Valley. It's very deep. So from Mount Hermon comes the water into the Sea of Galilee. It's a holding tank. It drains through the Jordan River into the Dead Sea. Now, right here is the plains of Megiddo or Jezreel, and it's a lower area that goes from the Mediterranean down to the Sea of Galilee. Interesting, in a moment's time on the Sea of Galilee, there could be a raging tempest that develops without warning. Why? Let me give you some of the geological terrain of that place. Because the air over the Sea of Galilee is cooled by the water, 10 miles by 15, it stays cool, but it's surrounded by desert and very arid conditions. So in a cool evening, the hot air rises faster than the cool air, which is heavier. So when this rises, this whole Jezreel Valley becomes a wind tunnel. It sucks the wind in to the Sea of Galilee. It's heated over the desert, and it just turns this swirling tempest right there in the Sea of Galilee. So within 15 minutes to 20 minutes, there could be a raging storm that comes out of nowhere during the evening time. And it's simply because of the geological terrain of being so far beneath the surface of the ocean, a wind tunnel that goes right into it, surrounded by deserts, that air rises, it just sucks wind in, and it is a topsy-turvy there. The disciples were caught in that, and they were panic-stricken. They didn't know what to do. This placid lake was transformed into a tempest, and they were beside themselves. And an outside storm had become an inside storm. We want to talk about that today. Jesus was asleep on a cushion. Wonder why. Maybe, because we forget about his humanness, maybe he was just depleted and fatigued from ministry and he was just out. Or maybe he knew something about peace, that it doesn't come from circumstances, it comes from within. We're going to find out. So let's take a trip to the Sea of Galilee and let's read together in your notes. If you take out your notes, we're going to read the story together and let's see what happens. Let's read it nice and loudly if you could. Go. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? You know, the Bible says in these last days, whatever can be shaken will be shaken. And it's not if, it's when. Every day is going to have turbulence to it, and some maybe a raging tempest that will come out of nowhere. You know what I mean? We'd love to get up in the morning, every morning, and start singing, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. And then you get onto the highway or the freeway, and it's like a convention of idiots. There's a story of this senior citizen. He was driving out on the highway to do some errands, so he was gone. And the wife calls him on his cell phone, and in a worried voice, she says, Herman. Yes, he says, in driving his car. Yes, Herman, be careful. I just heard on the radio there's a madman driving the wrong way on the highway that you're on. I know, said Herman, but it's not just one. There are hundreds driving the wrong way. Every single day, we're going to meet and encounter people who seem to have the spiritual gift of getting on your nerves. Yeah, they think it's their calling in life to make you miserable. And you and I will encounter that. You just can't get around it. People, listen, there is no perfect day. Yeah, I know there's a little movie called, you know, Three Perfect Days and fill in the blank, but there's no perfect day. No, there's no perfect job. There's no perfect boss. There's no perfect husband. I know, because Anna married the last one. It's just, well, the disciples had their peace shaken to the core. Don't you care? Why aren't you frazzled like we are? Why aren't you panicked like we are? Why aren't you shaken to the core like we are? Why aren't you afraid? Why aren't you more like us? Sometimes we want God to be more like us. But maybe we can learn something from Jesus who was asleep. Maybe not because he was just depleted, but maybe because he knew that peace didn't come from the absence of storms. It came in the midst of them. And that's what we want to tap in today. What's your definition of peace? Well, peace is a condition where nobody disturbs you anymore. That'd be great. No stress, nothing rattles you anymore, no disagreement, no disturbance, nothing annoys me. Woo! If that's your definition, I have good news for you. There's a place. Yeah, where? It's called a graveyard. It's the only place where you'll have peace. That's why the tombstones all say what? That's the only place you're going to find that kind of definition about peace, where nobody's going to bother you. I ain't going to bother you. But the question is peace possible on this side of the grave, in a world that's scattered, in a world that's topsy-turvy, where everything is being shaken? And we can't change that because that's the end times. But can there be peace on this side of the grave? Well, let's hear what Jesus has to say. He said this. He was saying that there's going to be a time where everything's going to be shaken. And then he says this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I want to give you today one foundational principle and two practical tips. One foundational principle and two practical tips about life. And here they are. The first is this. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace. Here's the first foundational principle. Here it is. You need to know where the source of peace is. And that is in me, Jesus says, you shall have peace. It's not in the world, not in the absence of circumstances, not when your mother-in-law finally leaves. In me, you shall have peace. You see, peace is found in a person, not in the absence of circumstances. In me, the Prince of Peace, that's who Jesus is called. the Prince of Peace. He's the source. And here's the foundational principle. He says this. He says in John 14, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. He said, my peace I'll give to you. Peace is found firstly in a person, in a relationship with the Prince of Peace. Here's the foundational principle. If you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do that today. That's foundational. Because if you don't have the Prince of Peace within you, you don't have the source of peace. So you're going to look for circumstances to be the peace. You're going to look for the absence of problems to be peace. You're going to look for the absence of disturbances or everything is going my way to be the source of peace. And you're going to be sorely disappointed. Every day on the freeway, you will meet a convention of idiots. And so you're in trouble. But if you understand that peace is in a person, not in a place. How many people, you know, that when things were going funny during the COVID, they said, we're leaving in Oregon. Oh, you're going to go to another place. They're going to have the same problems. There was a man that was leaving one town who's just fed up with the people and going to another town that he heard was really good. And he met a person on the way. He looked like a sage of a man, just kind of an elderly gentleman. And he said to the elderly gentleman, where do you come from? He says, oh, I live up in that mountain village. He said, oh, that's where I'm going. How is it? Is it a good place? And the old man said, well, how is it the place you left? He says, terrible. Terrible. The people are argumentative. They disturb you. They complain. They're critical and cynical. Oh, oh. And he said, well, how are the people up there? And well, the man said, well, you'll find the people up there the same way you found the people down there. You see, it's our eyes a lot of times. It's, you know, everyone's going the wrong way. No, Herman, you are. And sometimes we think that peace is found in a place when it really is found in a person, wherever, whatever place you're in. So if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please do, because he's going to place you where he wants you, and that peace will be in you that goes outward. Otherwise, you'll always come to disturbances, and the problem will be when the outside disturbance becomes an inside disturbance. And Jesus is going to teach us about that. I noticed there that he didn't wait for peace, and I'm going to give you the first tip here in living, and it's just practical. Jesus didn't wait for peace. No, he didn't wait for things to change. You'll notice he stood up in the boat and he decreed peace. He commanded peace. He didn't wait for it. He said, peace, be calm. And in the midst of it, he was able to influence the surroundings rather than the surroundings influence him, as it was with all of the disciples. He says a sort of a cryptic scripture, and he talks about salt, but I know it's a metaphor of something, and we're going to read it together, and you'll see what I mean. Let's read this next scripture as it comes out of Matthew 9. Jesus is speaking, and he says this. Read it. Go. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? It's like, wait. What are you talking about here? Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, what will make it salty again? So then he continues, read it with me. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. So he's saying here that salt is an influence. It influences whatever it's sprinkled on. And he's saying, be at peace with one another. But the peace doesn't come from one another. Have salt in yourself. It is the influence that I have that brings peace, not what that brings to me. If it's the outside in, then you have bad coming in as well as good. Then you simply become an absorbing sponge of whatever is going on. And there's a difference between being a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer just reads the temperature of what's going on. A thermostat sets it. And Jesus is saying, have salt in yourselves so that you can influence the surroundings. Otherwise, we'll all be victims of the world, because in the world, you'll have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But have salt in yourself. What are you saying? He's saying peace is a choice. It's an action. It's not a request. It's a command that we get to make. It's a declaration. You say, wow, so we can just go out and just say peace to the wind? This is cool because it's tussling my hair. I don't like that. So peace, stop, peace, stop. So I look better. No, the Lord says, no, let's do this. Before you get there, let's just start with peace with yourself so that outside storms in your life don't become inside storms. Just start with you. Start with you. Instead of trying to change the atmosphere, change on the outside, change the atmosphere on the inside. Well, how do I do that? Here's practical tip number one. Ready? Learn to counsel yourself. Learn to speak to yourself so that peace remains firm.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Unshakable Peace by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion on tomorrow's program. In fact, here is a little sneak peek at what is in store.
You see, when we pace with Jesus, and if he's back here and he's saying, let us go, Wayne, I got to make sure I'm walking in his pace, in his timing. If not, a lot of times we feel the pull of the world. Yeah, I'll be right with you. And so I'm walking on the edge. Don't talk to me today. I'm busy. Because why? Because we're on the edge. But watch this. If you're way over here, let us go. And sometimes he says, let's go over to another place and we're just going to chill. This is the fastest way, believe me. It was in 1820 when missionaries landed in a port called Kauaihai, and they brought the gospel to a group of people ready to learn about God. The gospel swept through the islands, and that which was hula that used to be given to deities now, and they also would do hula in tribute to a king or a royal family. Now, when the Lord swept the islands, hula was now as a tribute of honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 80,000 Hawaiians would receive Christ as Lord and Savior. It was the beginning of a new era. It was actually called the Great Awakening in Hawaii. And today, many, many churches spot the islands because God found Hawaii on the side of the globe in the middle of the Pacific. You might be here today and you wonder, does God know where I am, who I am, what I'm going through? Oh, he does. We too want to give tribute to the one who is the creator of all. And even though he's created the universe, he knows where you are, even if you think you're lost. He knows. And he says to you, welcome. So would you now give thanks and an applause offering to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God, we honor you.
Aloha. Let's put our hands together and worship the Lord.
Glory, glory, Lord. We give you glory, Lord.
Come on.
Glory, glory, Lord. You are the mighty God.
We give you glory.
Glory, glory, Lord.
Come on.
We give you glory, Lord. Glory, glory, Lord. You are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
You go down to the sea. You who live in the island. So if you live in the city, oh, lift your voice and sing out.
Glory, glory, Lord.
We give you glory.
We give you glory, Lord.
We give you glory.
Glory, glory, Lord. You are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
Everyone on earth will declare your glory, Father. And in every nation and in every tongue, we will sing glory, glory, Lord. So now let's sing it in Hawaiian.
All right, everybody. It goes like this. Sing nani nani Jehovah. No kanani Jehovah. Nani nani Jehovah. Keakua manaloa. Come on, let's all sing it now. Sing it out.
Sing nani nani Jehovah.
Yeah.
No kanani Jehovah.
Jehovah, que actúa mano, Lord.
Now let's sing it in some more.
Mato tevia oi le atua. Vi ia, vi ia le atua. Oi, oi le atua, man tatu tia. Vi ia, vi ia le atua. Mato tevia oi le atua. Vi ia, vi ia le atua. Oi, le atua, man tatu tia.
Sing glory, glory, Lord.
Glory, glory, Lord.
We give you glory.
Give you glory, Lord.
Give you glory.
Glory, glory, Lord. You are the mighty God.
You are the living God.
You are the living God.
You are the only God.
You are the only God.
And you are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
Until the same time tomorrow, God bless you and aloha.